السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, also our sisters at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers, three majalis or four, we have been discussing sabr and hope. Those tapes are available under the same titles, sabr and hope. Is that the title? So those who haven't been here for the three or four majalis, so they can listen to those tapes. We are continuing with that subject. And as I mentioned in the earlier discussion, that we are going through very, very difficult and trying times. And it seems that nobody is free from any kind of gham, grief, sorrow, pain, hurt, injury, sadness. Every person is afflicted, affected. Sometimes it is the person who is suffering some disease, some sickness, some illness, some poverty. He himself is suffering, and therefore he is grieved, he is sad, he is hurt, he is in pain. And sometimes it is due to something that happened to someone in his family. Mother died, father passed away, wife met with an accident and died in that accident, or the son became shaheed and somebody shot him and killed him. Now, different kinds of happenings in the family causes grief and pain and suffering. So people become sometimes very sad, and they reach such stage of depression and such stage of frustration that they start making comments which are very serious in nature, because they border on kufr, complaining of the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is what I have been discussing over the past few Mondays, that we must not lose patience, we must exercise sabr, have great hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I mentioned many incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, the pious and the righteous predecessors of ours, and even in present time, those who are Allah walas, that what kind of trials, tests, difficulties came upon them. But yet you will find that they never ever complained of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. By way of information, they gave their pain and suffering and problem to somebody that may have asked, by way of information. I am sick, I've got headache, I've got stomach pain, or my child is suffering from this or that, or somebody passed away in the family. So the person gives it by way of information, and his niyat also at that time should be that he will get the dua of the person to whom he is giving this information. That's all it must be. There must be no complaint of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are not here to make the decision for Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will make the decision for us. And in whatever decision he makes, there is nothing but khair. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, for a believer, there is khair in everything. There's goodness in everything. His life is something to be admired, because his goodness in everything. If he gets ni'mats and bounties, he makes shukr. And if he is deprived of that, then he makes sabar. So under all conditions, he remains happy. So tonight we are going to follow it up with some sections of a waaz of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahab, which was titled Tasleem or Rada, where the person submits himself, he resigns his will to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will, and he expresses raza, satisfaction over the decision of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now this was actually given at the house of a person whose mother had passed away. So there he mentions that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif gives us a very beautiful prescription whenever we experience any kind of difficulty or hardship. And especially when it comes to death, because there are so many people who are passing away, and sometimes the person is so attached to that one who has passed away that he becomes depressed. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif tells us that we should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Upon difficulties, hardships, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say, we must say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran Sharif. So what does Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un mean? Now without going into detailed tafsir of this ayat and this verse, and so much has already been discussed with regards to sabr and hope. But with regards to this ayat, he says, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ne gham zada dilo ke liye irshad farmaya, ke jab tumko koi sadma aur gham pahunche, jab koi musibat ka waqia pesh aaye, to ay Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aap aise logon ko basharat de dijiye, khushkhabri suna dijiye, jo kisi musibat ke waqt mein apne rab ki marzi par razi rehte hain aur unko Allah taala se koi aitraz aur shikayat nahi hoti, aur kehte hain inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, must give basharat, give glad tiding to those people. When any kind of difficulty, hardship, problem befaces them, then they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now unfortunately we have taken this Inna lillahi to be recited only when somebody is dying. Or when somebody is dead already and we get the message, then we say Inna lillahi. But if somebody has to inform someone that his father, his mother, his wife or child or somebody is very sick, very ill, or met up with an accident, and if he has to say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, this person will get very angry. Say, they haven't passed away as yet. He's still living and you're reading Inna lillahi from now. So what, do you want him to go? Now they will think that you're reading Inna lillahi so that the person goes faster than he came to this world. Now that's not the purpose of Inna lillahi. Inna lillahi is not only for those people who have passed away. And I've discussed this in earlier on, that it is at any calamity, any difficulty, any disaster, any kind of pain, any kind of suffering, any kind of injury that the person experiences. You bumped your head into a wall, against a wall, or the person meets up with an accident. So much so that even if the light goes off, there was a power failure and it went dark, then at such time also the person should say Inna lillahi, and the person will get sawab and reward on it. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so much of ihsan upon the believers, that sawab and reward upon any kind of difficulty. So the person says Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So when you're making taziyat of the person, somebody passed away, at that time when we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, then there is great tasalli in there, there's great consolation in there. So he said the person must say Inna lillahi. It will give him tasalli, it will give him consolation. حضرت حکیم الامت مجدد الملت مولانا اشرف علی صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ فرماتے ہیں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ اس کلمے انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون میں زبردست تسلی دی ہے. اس آیت میں دو جملے ہیں, ایک انا للہ اور دوسرا و انا الیہ راجعون. There are two parts, one is انا للہ and the other is و انا الیہ راجعون. انا للہ کے معنی ہے کہ ہم سب اللہ کے مملوک ہیں, غلام ہیں. لام ملکیت کے لیے آتا ہے, یعنی ہم اپنی ذات کے مالک نہیں ہے. اگر اپنی ذات کے مالک ہوتے تو خودکشی جائز ہوتی. اسے لام دے اس ٹو انڈیکیٹ پوزیشن دیٹ وی آل بلونگ ٹو اللہ تبارک و تعالی, نتھنگ ریئلی بلونگس ٹو اس. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He sent us to this world and we are His slaves. Allah ta'ala will make the decision how long He wants us to remain on the surface of the earth. When Allah ta'ala decides that this person's father must now leave, so he will leave. When He decides that his mother must pass away, then she will pass away. When He decides that the children, all of them at the same time must pass away, then no matter how much we try, no matter how much of ifs and buts we make, but they will meet up with their death. So then we say that, why do we blame the people who make accidents? Or someone takes somebody's life, then why should he be punished? Because Allah Ta'ala had planned and decided that this person must die on a certain day. So he died on that date, at that time, that place. Somebody became the means of his death. So why should he be blamed? So that blame is because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not say that you must kill people. Allah ta'ala did not order us to kill people without justification. It's not permissible to take anybody's life. And justification is if that person has taken somebody's life and then the judge rules that he must also be executed, then it's a different thing. But Allah Ta'ala didn't say that we must go around killing people, killing people's children or their wives. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that. Allah Ta'ala said we must protect people's lives. So if this person is killing, then that is his action. Although that action became the means of somebody else's death, but Allah Ta'ala in His knowledge knew that this person on such a date, such a time, such a place, using his own intellect and willpower, he will fire and the bullet will take this person's life. So that person is guilty of an offense. He used his own intellect, his own willpower, and he took somebody's life. So although that person met up with his death on that occasion, that this person fired the bullet and therefore this person met up with his death, so we will say that the death of this person was destined at that time. But the one who killed him, he is blameworthy, because Allah Ta'ala didn't say he must take his life. Allah Ta'ala with his knowledge recorded that this person will take so and so's life. That is why he is being blamed. So if a person is negligent, he purposely causes the death of others, then he is guilty. But if it was an accident, he was driving safely, very carefully, he wasn't negligent, and then whilst driving at a speed, suddenly there was an oil patch and he skidded and the passengers died, so then we won't blame him. He's not going to be guilty because it wasn't done purposely. So inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Inna lillah, that we belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are His slaves, we are His servants, and Allah ta'ala will decide whatever is best for us. Because if our life belonged to us, then it would have been permissible to take our lives. But we know that it's not permissible to take our lives. To commit suicide is not permissible. That person will burn in the fire of hell. Taking the life of a person, or the person taking his own life, ab to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge. अब तो घबरा के ये कहते हैं कि मर जाएंगे, अगर मर के भी चैन नहीं आया तो फिर किधर जाएंगे. इस एट प्रेजेंट यू आर सेइंग बिकॉज यू गोइंग थ्रू अ लॉट ऑफ डिफिकल्टीज दैट आई रादर टेक माई लाइफ, बट आफ्टर टेकिंग योर लाइफ वॉट गोइंग टू हैपन, बिकॉज द अदर साइड यू नॉट गोइंग टू गेट चैन ऑल्सो. सो दे वे यू गोइंग टू टेक योर लाइफ, वे यू गोइंग टू रन अवे फ्रॉम. सो यू कैन नॉट रन अवे फ्रॉम द आखिरत. So taking of life is not permissible because life doesn't belong to us. If it belonged to us, we would have been allowed to take our lives. This is the first thing is inna lillah, that we are the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani khud kushi ke haram hone ki wajah ye hai ki hum khud apne malik nahi hai. Hamare jism o jaan ka malik Allah ta'ala hai. इन्ना लिल्लाह के माना है कि हम सब अल्लाह की मिल्कियत है, लिहाजा इसमें तसल्ली है. सो ऑलरेडी द पर्सन इज गेटिंग अ काइंड ऑफ कंसोलेशन बाय सेइंग इन्ना लिल्लाह. जिसको चाहे खुदा ताला हमसे ले ले, क्योंकि सदमे के वक्त में दो ख्याल आते हैं, एक तो ये कि हमारे माँ बाप शोहर को जल्दी बुला लिया, हमसे छीन लिया. द थॉट कम्स इन आवर माइंड द पर्सन मेट और द पर्सन वॉज टेकन अवे फ्रॉम अस वेरी quickly. He should have lived longer. He should have spent many more years with us. This child should have grown up. Allah Ta'ala took him away when he was only 3 years or 6 years of age. So that thought comes. So at that time you say, Inna Lillah. That we belong to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala decided that the person must go. So he called him away. तुम्हारे माँ बाप शोहर या बेटा भी हमारी मिल्कियत है, तुम भी हमारे गुलाम, माँ बाप भी हमारे गुलाम. अब सवाल ये पैदा होता है कि एक उम्र साथ रहने से मोहब्बत हो जाती है. सो नाउ दैट वी अंडरस्टैंड दैट वी ऑल बिलोंग टू अल्लाह तबारक व तआला, बट नाउ व्हाट, बिकॉज वी लिव टुगेदर फॉर अ लॉन्ग वाइल. द पेरेंट्स लिव्ड विद द चिल्ड्रन, द चिल्ड्रन दे लिव्ड विद द पेरेंट्स, और हस्बैंड विद द वाइफ, वाइफ विद द हस्बैंड. So therefore the second part, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, which means that our return is to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We came to this world sent by Allah Ta'ala, and when the time is up, we are going to return to Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi gives a beautiful example. He says, when such kind of thoughts come, then at that time the person says, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And he gives an example. He says that it is like two shelves. One shelf on top and one shelf at the bottom. Now a person tells his servant or the maid that I've brought 12 tumblers, put them on the bottom shelf. I've brought 12 cups and saucers, put them in the bottom shelf. So that he puts everything or she puts everything in the bottom shelf. After 6 months or 1 year, then he says, take 2 cups from there and put it on the top shelf. And take 2 tumblers from there and put it in the top shelf. So now the servant asks, that, but why do you want to take it out from the bottom shelf and put it on the top shelf? So the master says, the owner says, that I am the owner of the cups, I am the owner of the tumblers. Who are you to ask me that why I must take it from the bottom and put it on top? It's my cups, it belongs to me. You are stupid to ask me that why must I take it from there and put it on top. So the person says, all right, now I understood that it belongs to you, so therefore you took it from the bottom and put it on top. But now what about the other cups and saucers which were in the company of these cups and saucers? What about the tumblers which stayed for a long, long time with these tumblers? They will miss these tumblers and they will miss these cups and saucers which disappeared from there and went away to the top shelf. It's an example. So now the person says, don't worry about that, because just as I have put these tumblers and these cups and saucers into the top shelf, in the same way very soon I will order that you take the others also from the bottom and put them onto the top. So soon they all will meet up on the top there. So in the same way there are two shelves, you say, one is up, that is the skies, the heavens, where our ruh and our arwah and our souls go, and the other is the earth and this world. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps some people here for 30 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. And then he orders Israel alayhi salatu wasalam, now take the soul and bring them up. Now the mother is crying, my child is gone. The father is crying, my son is gone. Or the wife is crying, my husband is gone. So don't worry, where your husband is gone tomorrow, you'll go there too. Where your son is gone after some time, you'll go there too. And you all will meet there. So you do what you have to do. So, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Because whatever decision Allah Ta'ala makes, it, I've repeatedly been saying this, there's nothing but khair in it. Allah Ta'ala's wisdom only He knows. 100% anything Allah Ta'ala does is for our benefit. If a person has to ponder and reflect and think, they say that whatever Allah Ta'ala does, as Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that it's 100% benefit for the person. There's no such thing as partnership business, because there can be only four situations. One is that if somebody suffered some hardship, some difficulty, some problem, some trial, some disaster in his life, so 100% benefit came to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala benefited 100% by causing that person suffering and difficulty and hardship. And that person got no benefit. Now can anybody accept such a stupid belief that Allah Ta'ala was benefiting by causing any kind of pain and suffering to somebody? So definitely that cannot be true, that Allah Ta'ala benefited 100%. Then we say, okay, the second situation is this, that a little bit of benefit goes to Allah Ta'ala and some benefit goes to that person who is suffering. Now can that also be accepted? That the person who is suffering, so there was a little bit of benefit for him and some benefit for Allah Ta'ala. There's 50-50 partnership. They say that is also not acceptable. What benefit will Allah Ta'ala get? Allah Ta'ala is not going to get any kind of benefit. So the third situation is this, where the person, whatever is befacing him, is 100% benefit for him. Or the third situation is this, where we will say that the person doesn't benefit in any way. Neither does Allah Ta'ala benefit in any way, and nor does he benefit in any way. So is it just games that Allah Ta'ala is playing? Na'uzu billah. That he doesn't benefit the person and doesn't benefit Allah Ta'ala. So then what is it? So there can only be the fourth situation, and that is that 100% benefit of whatever is happening is for that banda himself, for that servant of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala doesn't benefit, the 100% benefit goes to that servant. In different ways Allah Ta'ala rewards him. And look at all the things that we discussed over the past three or four majlises, that how many rewards the person gets, how much closeness he gets to Allah Ta'ala, how much of his ni'mats and bounties Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showers upon this person, how much he will get in the akhirat, how much he gets in this dunya, the different ways that Allah Ta'ala rewards. So 100% benefit goes to that person. So why should he be restless? Why should he be depressed? Why should he be complaining of Allah Ta'ala? Because everything is for his benefit. So he says that this is something that gives the person some kind of tasalli. So we have to understand that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He sent us to this world, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows what is best for us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has created us and sent us here for a certain period of time. And it's not going to be possible for us to decide otherwise that we want to stay here for longer time, period of time. That is Allah Ta'ala's decision. So if we have to look at the incidents in the lives of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ and all those that came after them, those who were pious and righteous, they went through the most amount of suffering, the most amount of difficulties, the most amount of hardships. And we will find the greatest amount of sabr in their lives. Greatest amount of sabr. And in this sabr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. This ma'iyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that closeness of Allah ta'ala. Therefore that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of whom of which is on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will say that I was hungry and you did not feed me. The person will say, Ya Allah, how can we be feeding you when you are the one who feeds everybody? How can you be hungry? You are the one who provides food and nourishment for everybody. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will say that that person who was hungry, if you had fed him, then you would have found the reward by me. You would have found the reward by me. Then Allah Ta'ala will say that I didn't have clothes to wear and you didn't give me clothes to wear. So Ya Allah, you clothe everybody and how can you be in need of clothes? So those, that poor person who did not have clothes, if you had given him clothes, then you would have found the sawab and the reward by me. Then he said, I was sick and you didn't visit me, you didn't take care of me, you didn't bring medication for me or whatever it may be. He said, Ya Allah, you are the one who gives shifa to people, you are the one who gives cure to people. And how can you be sick and ailing and requiring somebody to take care of you and assist you and help you in that sickness of yours? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then reply that that person who was sick, if you had gone to him and if you had taken care of him, then you would have found me by him. Now look at the difference. In the first two instances, you would have got the reward by me. There you would have got the reward by me. And here this person who is very sick, he is in bed and he cannot move, or he is on tubes and he's undergoing an operation soon, or he's paralyzed. Now such kind of person finds himself very helpless because he cannot move, he's helpless. And at that time he thinks of the strength that he had in his body and how he used to run and walk and conduct his business and do everything, and now he's got nothing left. So the more helpless the person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, you would have found me by him. Now that gives tasalli, it gives consolation to the person that in his sickness also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't forgotten him. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget us, that we must forget that Allah Ta'ala forgets us. He doesn't forget us. We forget him. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala monitors every step of our life. We are before him, before his sight all the time. There is no such thing as Allah Ta'ala loses sight of us. Like sometimes you say that the person was running so fast that I lost sight of him. There is no such thing that this person ran so fast that Allah Ta'ala lost sight of him. Allah Ta'ala doesn't lose sight of us. He is with us in those problems, in those pains. But as I mentioned, I think, in the last majlis on Jummah day, that many a times it happens that we buy something for the child. We buy something for the child. But what do we do? Person buys chocolate. He brought it for the child. Now when the child is going for the chocolate, then he brings it up. Now the child starts crying. Then he brings it down. Now when the child tries to grab it, again he pulls it up. Now is he doing it because of enmity, because of hatred, because of dislike, because he has got no love for that child? Is that why he is doing that? We know that that father and mother, they are doing it with great love. They really like how that child jumps, and even that crying and those tears of that child at that time is beloved to those parents, because they know that those tears that of that child is something that they are the cause of. And it is out of love that those tears are flowing, made to flow, because they got that chocolate and they are not giving it. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also, sometimes He dearly loves that weeping and that crying and that begging of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's not that out of hatred and enmity He doesn't give it to us. And the person is asking, either He can give it same time, and sometimes He delays it. And in that delay, there's great wisdom. Allah Ta'ala loves that person begging, asking, because Allah knows in His knowledge, which is perfect, that this person, the moment I give it to him, he'll leave the masjid and go away too. There are so many people, you will find them in the masjid. When they are in difficulty, when they're in hardship. At that time, they will cry and they'll make dua and they'll go to people with tawizes and they'll go to everybody to make dua for them. And the moment the difficulty is removed, then finish. That masjid is gone and everything is gone. They stop crying before Allah Ta'ala. Say, now we got what we wanted. So Allah Ta'ala keeps them there, that keep on begging. And then Allah Ta'ala gives it. So never ever lose hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Don't lose trust and faith in Allah Ta'ala. Keep on pleading, keep on begging, keep on asking. And if trials and tests come, then take it with patience. Take it with patience. But don't ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for any kind of trial or any kind of hardship or difficulty. We know of many people who were trying to show their strength and their greatness and their kamal. That no matter what kind of difficulty comes, that but I'm a patient like a rock. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala just put them through a little bit of suffering and everything was over. And many of them suffered for years and years after that, because they expressed a kind of great of strength before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we mustn't express that. We mustn't say that we are very strong and very powerful and we can take all kinds of pain and torture and trouble. We must never ever ask for such kind of things. We must always ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, for protection, for salamati, for izzat, for barakat, for rahmat. But then if something does come and it's beyond our control, therefore say learn two things. One is ikhtiyari and one is ghair ikhtiyari. Something that's within our control and power and something that's not within our control and power. So if anything happens which is not within our control, we couldn't have avoided it, we couldn't have achieved it, so then make the freeze. Resign our will to the will of Allah Ta'ala. It'll give us sukoon in our hearts. What is the sense of brooding over that which is past? Over and over we keep on digging. It has happened, it's over. Now think of the future. One woman phoned and she said that she had committed the sin of abortion 2 or 3 years ago. Now from that time up till now she's crying and crying and crying and she can't get over it. So what must she do now? She feels like taking her life. I said, you don't have to lose hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. For people like you who have cried, who have shed tears, you didn't express a kind of happiness, satisfaction. You're not bragging about your sin. You're not justifying what you did. You are ashamed of what you did. The spur of the moment you made some rash decision, which was sinful, evil, haram. But then, make sincere tawbah, istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and then believe that Allah Ta'ala forgives. At such a time Allah Ta'ala will forgive. And it had not even reached the stage of gestation, 120 days, so therefore it makes it little less of a sin. But the fact is that you've made plenty of istighfar and tawbah, now why must you think of taking your life? Is Allah Ta'ala such zalim? Na'uzu billah. Now look ahead. What is past, they say, is history. And what is future is mystery. And what is present, that's the present. That's the present from Allah Ta'ala, that life that we still got. So worry about that present of Allah Ta'ala. Because the future is a mystery, we don't know what's going to happen. So now you made tawbah, istighfar, you asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Now whenever you're making tawbah, I said, Ya Allah, forgive all the sins that I have committed at that time, cry over the sins. But now to keep on holding that kind of opinion of Allah Ta'ala that I've committed such a sin that now Allah Ta'ala can never ever forgive that sin, then it shows that this person has got pride in. The person out of pride is thinking that my sin is greater than Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. It is just like that mosquito that sat on the back of that ox, which you heard many times. And after some time when it was taking off, then it says to the ox, that, oh you ox, I was sitting on your back for a long while, and it must have caused you a lot of pain, my weight that was on your back. So therefore I apologize for the weight on your back when I was sitting on you. And I'm now taking off. What will the ox say to the mosquito? The ox will say, you stupid, you foolish, you mad. I don't even know when you came and sat on my back and when you left. What kind of weight? And that example is something that we must keep on remembering of the ocean. No matter how much of sins we may have committed, we must not brag about those sins. We must not advertise those sins. We must not justify those sins. We must not be happy and pleased about those sins, and we must have no intention and desire of returning to those sins. And if it's huququl ibad, then fulfill that. But the main thing is that we must have that nadamat and shame in our hearts. That Ya Allah, You are our Khaliq, our Malik. You are the one who blessed us with our life, our sight, our hearing, our speech, and all the bounties You have blessed us with. And we have been so disobedient to You. So Allah, forgive our sins. So the person, no matter what sins he may have committed, but then he must not think that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy is less than his sins. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very merciful. But what he really wants is that sincere nadamat and shame. And when a person is ashamed of something which he has done, when he is ashamed, he is truly ashamed, and is hurt and is grieved that why did I do this, then he will not like to return to that happily again. That is the sign. I mean, if the person is saying that I made sincere tawbah and I was ashamed of what I have done. So if a person was caught doing something and he felt very, very shame because he was caught red-handed, will he ever go and do it again purposely? The person was stealing money from the cash in the shop. He was an assistant or he was staff in the shop. And he was caught red-handed stealing. He was taking the money and putting it into his pocket. And then he was shown in the CCTV. The picture was shown that, see, we got you trapped. Now he will feel ashamed that this man trusted me. He believed in me. He's being honest and truthful. He used to leave the keys with me. He used to trust me with any amount of money. Now look what has happened. I'm caught. He'll feel terribly ashamed. Now if this person has to tell him, all right, never mind, you got caught. You got caught, never mind. I know you gave me service 20 years and you worked hard, so I forgive you. I overlook your fault. Now when he overlooks and when he forgives, so this staff of his, if he's got a little bit of sense in him, he will never repeat that. He will still remember that day when he was trapped and caught. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, all right, you committed those sins, and there was no question of Allah Ta'ala using some camera or something. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge, He knows what we are doing. Now the person is crying before Allah Ta'ala, is ashamed of what he has done. So true shame will mean that this person does not return to that sin again. Accidental is a different thing. But to say, I repented sincerely, Maulana, sincere repentance, and then immediately that we come out, we do the same thing. So can there be sincere repentance? So the person must always think of that example of that ocean. If that person's body has got, and his clothes have got filth, urine, stool, blood, all kinds of mess, and the person goes and tells the ocean that, oh you ocean, if I have to dive into you, you will also get dirty. That's why I'm not taking a dive into you. What will the ocean say? That billions like you, millions like you dived into my waters, their clothes became park, their bodies became park. So who are you? Dive into my waters and see what I do to you also. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also has got the doors of Tawbah open for us. Dive into that ocean. Allah will forgive. So why should we think of committing suicide? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. I thought today I will read something from this, that was Taslim or Raza. But whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wills, that is what is the best. May Allah Ta'ala accept whatever was discussed and give us that kind of yaqeen and faith and trust in Him, and give us the tawfiq to make tafweez. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma aftah lana bil khair wa akhtim lana bil khair wa ja'al awaqib wa umurana bil khair. بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ومن بلغر الله ومن رحيم الله ومن كريم الله most forgiving Allah bless us with iman and yaqeen in you Allah bless us with tawakkul and trust in you O my beloved Allah, make us yours and become ours. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Ya Allah, protect us and safeguard us from going towards haram. Give us the tawfiq of making our salat 5 times a day, fasting in Ramadan, giving zakat, making hajj farz, speaking the truth, staying away from anything that is displeasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq of making shukr over your ni'mats. Bless us from your unlimited treasures. Bless us with good health. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Whether they are amongst us in hospitals, in clinics, in ICUs or wherever they may be, Ya Allah, bless them with complete shifa from all sicknesses and diseases. We are also spiritually sick, Ya Allah, cure us of the diseases of the heart, which are of the spiritual kind. Cures of jealousy, malice, greed, pride, arrogance, evil passions and desires. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties with plenty of halal risk. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين